Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22, listen with me for the word of the Lord. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat had been battered by the waves and was far from the land, for wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking to them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This week I corresponded with one of our church members and we lamented together being apart for such a lengthy time in our corporate worship. And we hunger for that time when we can all be together again. You know, I heard someone say recently as well, year 2020 surely has to be one of the most challenging times, if not in recent history, perhaps even long-term history, in us as a nation in these United States. We began with COVID-19 and this social distancing, physical distancing that we're experiencing, and then the tragedies of the George Floyd killing, and then all of the turmoil and the reminder that we still have so much reconciliation to do so that we love all people and are united through God's love. And then the economic challenges that we've known as a result of COVID-19. The list goes on. And friends, as we think of the challenges we face collectively as a nation and individually and as families, we can oftentimes feel overwhelmed, right? Well, in our scripture today, I think the disciples give us some guidance in their response to the storm, the literal storm they face, also the emotional and physical and mental storms that we endure during times of challenge. You see, in our scripture today, we hear where the disciples are in the boat. Jesus had sent them out onto the sea. And in the middle of that passage, we hear that the wind is beating against the boat. They are feeling they are under attack. COVID-19 is upon them. The racial tension is in their land. The economic perils are all beating down upon them as they're fighting to keep their vessel alive on the Sea of Galilee. And in the midst of that, do you hear what happens? They see someone or something coming and they are gripped with fear. They think, this must be bad. They think the worst. Why do they think the worst? Because, friends, that's all that they are currently knowing is bad stuff, right? Isn't that the way it goes with us, too? When we face challenges like physical separation, like economic challenges, like worry for our family and friends, we, like the disciples, when we see something else coming at us on the water, just as they thought, this must be a ghost, this must be bad, this must be more peril, isn't that our tendency too? When things are bad, we often think, well, here's just more bad a-coming. It can only get worse, right? You know, I was thinking this morning as I was having some prayer time and meditation out on my back porch. I had coffee this morning with my stray cat, Gerald. I've told some of y'all about our stray cat, Gerald, before. And Gerald was a proponent of social distancing long before COVID-19 came about. He lets us feed him, but he never lets me get within 10 feet of him or he'll take off running. And I wondered why it is that Gerald is always leery. And I suspect this. He probably, like those disciples and like many of us, have known times in his life where he was under attack. Maybe it was a human who was not kind to him. But in all of Gerald's motives, him as that stray cat, there's one central theme that I think guides his motives not to trust me. And you know what it is? Fear. He fears that I would do something to him that would make his situation worse than it is now. You see, isn't that what often guides our fears? Isn't that what's guiding the fears of the disciples in our text today? And friends, as we know, whether we're a stray cat out on the prowl or a human being living in the 21st century or first century disciples of Jesus, we know this. Fear truly can cripple our most joy-filled life. It limits us. It prevents us. You know, if Gerald the cat would just willingly trust me, I could give him such a better life. We could take him to the vet. He could get his shots. He could feel better. We could deliver him from so much brokenness and pain if he would just move forth from his fear. Well, friends, in a far greater capacity, Almighty God becomes for the disciples today as they're battling in the boat, and I think for us as we're battling the challenges of our current predicament, whether it be family, professional, or just concern for our nation, that our God comes to us in our fear and conquers it with courage. You see, that's what happened in our text today. When the disciples saw Jesus, they were filled with fear. He said, take heart, take courage. It is I. I'm here, friends, to conquer your fears. Well, you know, I find some hope in that. And I pray you do today to know that God is journeying with us in our fears, in the storms that we're going through as congregations, as communities, as a nation. But here's the question. I don't know about you all, but here's the question for me today. Why is it that God allows those storms to come upon us? You see, in our text today, in our text, it tells us that after Jesus had fed the 5,000, our scripture says he immediately sent the disciples onto the water, but I know this as well. Not only did he send them onto the water, but he knew a storm was coming. And why would he allow them to go into the storm? Well, friends, as we face storms in life, I think it helps us to learn and hear in this text today that as those fishermen were on the sea, I think I'm having difficulty here. we'll try to reconnect in just a moment. It's saying that it's not connecting. But as those fishermen were on the sea, they too had faith. They trusted in God. Those fishermen knew that as they embodied what Christ said, to be obedient. You know, here's the thing about our text today. When Christ sent them onto the water, our text tells us that they went immediately. But here's the thing. Not only did Christ send them immediately, but their response was immediate. You see, that reminds me of the guidance given by our disciples in our text today of the beauty of being obedient to God's call in our life, to listening to our Lord, to following in the way He would go, even if a storm's coming. You know, so often in my journey, I don't know about y'all, but when I go through the storms as the disciples did in our text today, I think, I must have heard differently from God. Surely God wouldn't allow me to go through challenges in life. Maybe I'm doing the wrong thing professionally, or I'm with the wrong person in a relationship. If there's challenges, if there's adversities, if it's hard and not always easy, surely this is not of God. Haven't we all wrestled with that question before? But isn't it true that any loving parent, any successful coach, any great teacher who we've learned from has oftentimes allowed us to go through a little adversity to strengthen us and grow us in our journey? You know, I saw recently, I was watching the PGA Championship yesterday, and at the end of that tournament, they interviewed Bruce Koepka, one of those close to the leadership, and he made this point as he said, as he prepares for the final round today, he said, "What will help me is that I have experience. I've been there before, and I've won there before." You see what Koepka was saying? He's been through the challenges. And when we go through challenges, church, we're more strengthened for the journey. Last night I was thinking about, as we were watching the movie Mud, and we thought about the Mississippi River, and we talked about how it begins at Lake Itasca. I think that's how you say it. But my daddy once traveled to that lake in Minnesota, where the Mississippi River begins, and he stood, believe it or not, straddle the Mississippi River right there at its beginning in Lake Itasca. But we all know, as the waters continue to journey, they get wider and deeper and stronger so that they cannot be contained. Can it be that when we go through the long journeys of life, the challenges that we just as soon avoid, that we too become stronger like the raging and mighty Mississippi? We grow our faith deeper and wider, and with God's help, we will not be overwhelmed. You see, that surely is one of the reasons God allows us to go through the storms of life, our current predicaments. But here's the good news, friend. Peter exemplified in our text today. When we truly trust our Lord, when we are in obedient to God's calling, the benefit is this. We get to walk with Jesus. Not only do we walk with Jesus, but sometimes miracles of grace from heaven above will accompany our journey, just as Peter, the rock of the church, walked forth on the water. God works miracles of grace in our lives. When we trust, when we surrender our will to the Father. Isn't that what Peter says in our text today? When he cries out that beautiful surrender, "Lord, save me." friends just as he please and say, I need more of you, God, and less of me. That's our prayer of obedience and faith to God. When we say, Lord, will you do what I can't? When we say, Lord, I've tried it and I've made a mess on my own. Lord, I need you to save me from this predicament I'm in, for I need more of you and less of me. That's the surrender that Peter offered in our text today. Well, you know, there may be some of you listening today who've said, you know, I've tried church before, Pastor. I'm just strolling through the internet today and I fell upon your Facebook message. I've tried church. I've tried religion and it bit me. People were mean-spirited. People were unforgiving. They were all a bunch of hypocrites. I gave up on the church years ago, and truly, I gave up on faith. Maybe that's your feelings today. And if it is, I think you remind me of a little experience I saw recently with a hummingbird outside our home. I bought one of those fancy hummingbird feeders early in the season this year, and I filled it with that beautiful red nectar, and no hummingbirds came. It was like 2 months ago, and then just this week I saw a hummingbird, and it flew up to our feeder, but it didn't taste it. It flew up real close, and it got almost to the dispenser, and it never did drink from my hummingbird feeder. And I saw it again a couple of days later. It did the same thing. I got my hummingbird feeder down. I thought it must have been clogged up. No, that wasn't the issue. And then I smelled the nectar. And my friend Deborah Steverson could have told me this if I would have asked her, because she's a hummingbird whiz kid. You have to change that nectar every week or so, or it becomes spoiled, bitter, untasteful to those who seek nourishment. See, friends, I say that to share with you. Maybe you've tried the faith before and you found it to be bitter. Perhaps someone did offer you an experience in the church that was untasteful. But my request to you, like that hummingbird, now that I've refilled it with fresh, beautiful red nectar, my prayer is that he will come back and taste again and know that it is good. Would you, dear sojourner in life and faith, put your trust in Jesus during these challenges that we're facing, and know as we journey with him, we will be strengthened no matter what we face, no matter how the storms beat against us. He will never leave us or forsake us, for his love is eternal and he yearns to save us all from our defeat. Let's pray together. God, we are grateful for your grace and the life-giving love we find in you. We're grateful, O God, that as you call us to obedience, to walk in your ways and endure whatever storms we face, that our very life in you begins not with our obedience, though, but with your obedience. Your scriptures that tell us that you were obedient even to the point of death, death on the cross, where you bought our salvation by suffering for our sins and setting us apart from that destruction forever. God, may we be reminded, those of us who listen today, who've never put our trust in you, that it is as simple as crying out as Peter did in our text today, Lord, save me. And you'll do the rest. Would you make yourself known today to those who are searching for a relationship for you with you for the first time, or seeking to renew their trust in you for the first time in the long time. We pray for our friends and family that we've mentioned here today. We ask for miracles of grace and healing and wholeness for all of our loved ones, for the Meeks family, for our dear friend Elvin Huddleston, for Ray Gillard, for all of our loved ones who are suffering sickness. We ask for healing and wholeness. God, may you use us daily to be your light and love in our community, in our faith, in our family, for our friends, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties today. I pray you got some of it and got some good out of it, and that you have a great week. God bless you.